Thanks, Brent.
Oh, you're welcome.
I want to talk a little bit about water rights. First of all, why does Glenwood Springs need a water right to create a recreation park when it's non-consumptive use?
You don't actually need a water right to build a wave. The Glenwood Wave in West Glenwood doesn't have a water right associated with it. It has embedded structures in the river which form a wave, but there's no specific water right to that. And that's primarily because it's below the Senior Shoshone Hydro Plant right, and it's below the Roaring Fork River. A lot of these recreational in-channel diversion rights, first of all, they can only be held by cities and counties. And the first priority is on their surface to guarantee or to secure water rights. If you're going to build a whitewater park, you want to make sure there'll be water there. But a lot of the entities are now obtaining these rights because they have value outside of the recreational component. They pull water down to a particular point on the river. And that's what Pickens County openly declared when it built the Basalt Park. It said, our primary purpose is to keep water in the river, and secondly, we want to create this recreational experience. So I don't really know Glenwood's true intent. I don't mean to disparage their intent. It makes sense to get a water right for a whitewater park, but they may also just be interested in pulling more water down to that point in the river to benefit the recreational economy of Glenwood in general.
How would this water right work?
Well, it has a 2013 priority date, and it's 183 days they'd be able to call for water. And for almost all of that, it's the same flow level, 1,250 CFS, as the Shoshone Power Plant. So it won't really make that much difference. But for 46 days, they want the ability to call for, I think it's 2,500 CFS. So that would call out future junior water rights, people who come in 2018, say, and apply for a water right. For those 46 days, they might not be able to divert their water because it's flowing down to Glenwood. And then for 5 days, there'd be an event flow, they're calling it, of 4,000 CFS. The overall season runs from April 1st to September 30th with the 5 days of high flows around the 4th of July.
Who opposes this?
In this case, the primary, I guess, agitated or serious opposers were the cities of Aurora and Colorado Springs, which intend to build future upstream Trans Mountain diversions on the Eagle River, which flows into the Colorado at Dotsero. So they didn't want these rights to be set and deprive them of the opportunity to divert more water off the top of the Eagle River Basin in the future.
And so how was that resolved?
Well, the cities basically said, hey, we want a 30,000 acre foot exemption, which is a pretty big exemption as far as these recreational in-channel diversion rights go. Basalt has a new one that Pickens County obtained the rights for and built, and they got a 3,000 acre foot carve out. Other parties did who were opposing that. So this is 10 times the size of other carve outs. It basically is a 25% reduction in what Glenwood Springs was asking for.
Is this a wise move given the dicey, for lack of a better word, water situation in Colorado? I mean, will these parks be high and dry in coming years? And if so, what happens then?
Well, the main purpose of a water right is to get in line for water when there's not enough to go around for everybody. In other words, water rights don't matter when there's plenty of water for everybody. They only matter when there's a shortage, and then you get your water based on the date of your water right. So what the city is doing is getting in line with the 2013 date, which is very junior to some water rights, but will get less junior every year. So at some point when there's less water in the river, they'll be able to call for a fair amount of water to come running down to their whitewater parks, and that will only get more valuable in the future when there's less water, as there's expected to be.
So what's the next step for Glenwood Springs? I mean, have all the obstacles to creating 1 to 3 parks been overcome?
They're still working on the water rights settlement. All the parties that have agreed to settle are expected to sign or vote or do the various things they need to do by February, and then they'll probably still be another period of time in water court before the decree is actually issued and it's all done in water court. From there, we'll see if they're ever going to go build these structures in the river that form the waves. And there's a lot of permitting and design and construction to figure out. None of the sites are easy to figure out in terms of parking and access and things like that. The Two Rivers Park may be the easiest from that standpoint, because there's already parking and it's a public facility and it's near a boat ramp. The No Name site is next to the No Name rest stop. There's a parking lot there, but it's federal land and federally operated, and they're going to have to work with CDOT to see if they can integrate a whitewater park into a rest stop. That could be tricky. And the city's aware of that. The city knows that each site has its permitting challenges. I really don't know, and I haven't checked with the city, so you have to forgive me about how serious they are. Do they want to do this in 5 years? Do they want to do it in 10 years? Once you have a conditional water right, you can sit on it for a while as long as you're making some progress. So they won't be under any deadlines, but I don't really know how serious they are about investing the resources to actually build the parks.
Brent Gardner-Smith, editor and executive director of Aspen Journalism, thanks very much for translating all of this stuff for us.
Oh, you bet.
That does it for this week's News Brief on KDNK. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.